Numbers chapter 20 and beginning at verse 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into the wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt, to bring us in unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring the congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, Thou knowest all the travail that have befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time. And the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice, and sent an angel, and has brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through thy fields or through thy vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders. And Edom said unto him, Thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, We will go by the highway. And if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, Thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. We see in this passage a wonderful picture of the Lord's mercy, a wonderful picture of just the mercy of God, and just the contrast between the true nature of God and how Moses reveals God to the people. Here we have a people who are in the wilderness. They're crying out for water. Yes, they're there is a rebellion in their heart. There's a moaning. There's a lack of faith in their hearts. But there's a reality in their hearts. There's a desperation. They need water. There is no water in where they are, where they're camped. There's no water, and they're crying out, and there's a desperation. And God sees that desperation. He sees that cry from their hearts. He sees that cry, we need water, and he sees it, and it comes from within them. And God sees that cry, and he says to Moses, he says, take the rod, take that rod of testimony, that rod that that Buddy did take that rod of authority and take that rod before the people. But I don't want you to strike the rock. Yes, in the past you were told to strike the rock, but this time I don't want you to strike the rock. I want you to speak to the rock, because what I want you to do, I want you to show in the face of these people just the mercy of God. I want you to show my mercy, that I'm a God that is full of kindness, a God that loves, that a God that cares, a God that sees your every need, that God who sees your situation and is a God who is faithful to all my promises. And I want you to see my mercy. I want them to see my mercy. The children of Israel, I want them to see the mercy of my nature. My nature, my character is merciful and loving and kind. And that's who I am. And Moses, in response, he goes out from before the Lord. He's just seen the glory of the Lord come down. He's seen the very character of the Lord come down. And he goes out with the rod. And you'll notice that he's being told to speak to the rock. He says, speak to the rock, and water will gush out. And what he does is, the first error is he speaks to the people. He's not told to speak to the people. He's come out of the presence of the Lord. And God says, I'm telling you just to speak to the rock. And yet he speaks to the people. And he says of them, in verse 10, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? He comes before the people, and he's meant to sanctify God in the presence of the people. He's meant to show how merciful they are, how merciful God is, how wonderful in his kindness and his goodness, even in the face of their complaining, how good God is. And yet he comes and he speaks to them, and he speaks to them in judgment and criticism. And instead he's meant to speak to the rock. And you see, so easy it is for us to become like this. So easy it is for us to come with that critical spirit. And we can see, and as we look at other passages, we're going to see this in different circumstances. But we can look at other people and we can despair, and we can become critical, and we can become judgmental of what they're doing. And the thing is, Moses is told to speak to the rock. Now we know that the rock symbolizes the Lord Jesus. He was meant to, as it were, speak to the Lord Jesus. Here is a people who are in need. Don't go and just complain and judge them, but rather go and speak to the Lord. Go and speak to the rock. There's an issue with someone, and there's an issue of maybe how they're behaving, what they're doing, the complaint. They're crying out and they're needing help. What the answer is, God's saying, I want you to show them the mercy of God. And the way you're going to show that is by you're going to go and you're going to speak to Jesus. You're going to intercede on their behalf. And when you speak to Jesus, and in our situation, and you speak to Christ, and you come before him and you intercede on behalf of somebody, and there out of Christ comes the very blessing and the very provision that they need, and they see the answer, God will be sanctified in their hearts. God will be separated, because they will see that God is good and God is merciful and God is holy and God is separate, and God is the one that provides. And so we're to follow in doing what God commanded Moses to do, which was to speak to the rock. You see a person in crying out and maybe in their difficulty, in their situation, and everything is just terrible, and maybe they're complaining about it. Go to the Lord. cry out on their behalf, intercede on their behalf, go to Christ and speak to Christ. And out of Christ will flow the living waters that will come and bring blessing to them. That will be the answer. But you see, we take it into our own hands. And this is what Moses did. He took it into his own hands. And he spoke to the children of Israel. Yes, in so many ways they were rebels. But he took it into his own hands and he thought, the answer is, I'll speak to them. I'll tell them how awful they are, how dreadful they are, how they're doing this wrong and that wrong, and that will be the answer. And I'll speak to them and tell them just how bad they are. And God's saying, I didn't ask you to do that. I asked you to speak to the rock out of which will flow water. And then when they see how good I am, how merciful I am, how loving I am, how understanding I am, and how abundant I am, then that will deal with their rebellion, because then they will separate me in their hearts, because they will see my true nature. And we see, not only did he make the mistake in speaking to the people rather than the rock, but he also strikes it rather than speaking to it. And we know that the first time, first occasion when he is told to strike the rock, and it symbolizes how Christ was judged on our behalf, and he took the punishment for us. But here we're seeing the loving kindness of God, and he says, just speak to Christ. Speak to the rock, and there they're going to see the mercy, the loving kindness of me. And he doesn't do it. He comes in anger. And so often we see the failings of other people. We see how people are failing, and there's something within our hearts that gets angry, that gets judgmental, that gets critical, because they're failing. And instead saying, I'm actually going to go to Christ and I'm going to intercede on behalf of them. I'm going to come before the Lord and I'm going to intercede that the abundance of God would come forth to them, that they would see the goodness of God in their day, in their generation, in their life. And that's what it was all about. That was what Moses was meant to do. He was meant to be the one that stood in the gap and showed these people what the mercy of God was all about. And the amazing thing is that even though Moses is critical, even though he does everything wrong, he speaks to the people instead of the rock. He hits the rock not only once but twice. And even so, even though he does everything wrong, water still comes out abundantly, because God is still going to sanctify himself in the hearts of the people. He's still going to show his mercy. He's going to still show his greatness. Now, we can be a part of what God is doing. We can be a part of the mercy of God, as it were. Moses could be part of what God is revealing, the mercy of his mercy, his loving kindness, his faithfulness, his abundant goodness. Moses could be a part of that. And the way he could be part of that was just to speak to the rock. The water gushes out. The people see the miracle of God. The people see the abundance of God. And Moses becomes a part of that. And he's, as it were, aligned himself with the work of God and has associated himself with that. But if Moses disobeys and says, well, I'm going to come with a critical heart, I'm going to come with a judgmental heart, I'm going to come with a heart that is hard, I'm going to come like that, then God says, well, I'm going to still show mercy to the children of Israel. I'm still going to bless them. I'm going to still show my nature, and I'm still going to be sanctified in their hearts by showing forth what I'm really like. But then there's a consequence for Moses and Aaron. And it says in verse 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believed me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore you shall not bring the congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. So the Lord was still sanctified amongst them. He was still separated. He was still shown to be holy amongst the children of Israel. But Moses and Aaron, because of their disobedience, were not going to be the ones that brought the children of Israel into the promised land. They were not going to have the pleasure, the enjoyment, the blessing, all of that, because of their disobedience. But God was still going to show himself merciful. And the whole heart of this is saying that we can align ourselves with the character of God as we minister to other people. We can align ourselves with what God wants to do in someone else's life, and we can either align ourselves and be part of what God is showing and what God is revealing in a person's life and a person's heart, or we can, as it were, take it upon ourselves and, as it were, become a God in a sense, but a God that is no God, a God of our own making, and so therefore we become God. We become, as it were, judgmental and critical and harsh. And God's all the time saying, I want to show my mercy. I want to show my love. I want to show my kindness. Yes, maybe they're not walking as they should be. Maybe they're not walking in every way that the word is saying. Maybe they're not. But I'm still going to show my mercy, and I'm still going to show my power, and I'm still going to show miracles, because that's what's going to separate me in their hearts. And sometimes you might ask, how is it that there are times where someone isn't walking as they should be, but yet God is still showing his power in their lives? How is it that that's happening? You may sometimes wonder, why is that happening? There they are and they're not walking right. It's because God is showing his mercy, and he's working to a place where they see just the power of God, so that he is sanctified in their hearts and in their lives. And then we see as a result something else, and which I think we probably don't always focus on. Moses has failed to show the mercy of God to the children of Israel. He's failed to reveal the character of God, the loving kindness, the goodness of God. And then he asks Edom, the king of Edom, if they can pass through the land of Edom, because they need to go that way. And the king of Edom says to Moses, no, you can't come through. Now, he didn't have that right. He didn't have a right to go through, but he was asking, well, will you let us pass? We won't take anything that belongs to you, but we just want to pass through. He says no. Now, Moses has shown a lack of mercy. Now, Moses, in leading the children of Israel, is now experiencing what it is like not to experience mercy from Edom. He is now on the receiving end of a lack of mercy. So he is, as it were, hidden the mercy of God. He's, as it were, shown God to be God's character to be something that it isn't, and now he is on the receiving end, so that he receives this lack of mercy from the king of Edom. And so it says, and he's verse 20, as a kind of a conclusion, it says, and he said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thou shalt not go through. And time again through the whole passage, we see, as it were, this conversation between the king of Edom and Moses. Yes, the children of Israel were going to be affected as well, but it's this conversation between the king of Edom and Moses, and so the consequences are that he is not on the receiving end of mercy, and we know that as we show mercy, we receive mercy. But if we hold back mercy, and that's what Moses did, he held back mercy. He, as it were, covered mercy and didn't reveal it. So he was on the receiving end judgment and opposition, and so he didn't receive mercy. And so we can be surrounded by people who are needing us to go and intercede, to go and just pray to the Lord, not to come with the words of correction, but that they just need a word, us to intercede on their behalf so that the blessing pours out and they see it. And actually, time and again in Scripture, what we find is this. We find that the people of God are needing a reminder of the mercy of God. It's a strange thing. This is a very strange thing that we, as believers who have experienced just the extraordinary depth of the mercy of God, because because Christ has died for us, we know the fullness of it, of our sins forgiven, and yet, even though we know and have experienced the fullness of the mercy of God, we've seen him come, step in time and again and provide for us and heal us and answer prayer. And yet, so often, we find ourselves actually being unmerciful. It's an extraordinary thing that we who've plunged the very depths of the mercy of God, then we find ourselves not being merciful. And we see how Elijah had to learn this in 1 Kings and chapter 19. Remember how he's come against the prophets of Baal. He's shown the power of God and shown them the true God when the sacrifice was burnt up, and he comes against all the prophets, and then he's just there, as it were, having this time of pity in himself, because he's the only one left, and he just thinks, oh, I'm the only one left, and everyone is just everyone. I'm surrounded by people who have just rebelled against you, Lord. And it says this in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 9. And it says, Elijah came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? The Lord was not in the strong wind or the earthquake or the fire, but he was in the still small voice. And the reality is that sometimes we're an earthquake, and sometimes we're a fire, and sometimes we're a strong wind. And yes, there are times where we need to come with that and prophetic voice, but far too often we're like a wind and an earthquake and a fire when we actually need to be the still small voice, the still small voice of mercy that comes to people and shows the mercy of God and shows that it's that God, even though he is a holy God, even though he's a God of purity, even though he's a God of power and righteousness and all of these things, yet God is still a God of kindness, and he's still a God who loves, and he's still a God who is gracious, and he's still a God who is faithful, and he's still that small voice that speaks into our hearts. And we, as ambassadors and representatives, then need to be that still small voice that speaks into the in people's hearts. Because when we just become that earthquake, and when we just become that fire, all we're doing is just bringing, it's as if we're bringing judgment upon people rather than bringing mercy and love and kindness and grace to the people. And this is what we're called to do, to bring forth the mercy of God. There's a reminder of the life of Elijah in Luke chapter 9, and it says in these, towards the end of Luke chapter 9, it says in verse 51, "And it came to pass, when the time was come that Jesus should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village." I wonder if you've ever had this feeling in your heart where you've maybe shared the gospel with someone and they've rejected it out of hand. They may have been harsh with their words in response to you. They've said things that are totally ungracious, unkind, just totally rejecting everything that you've said. And there's been something in your heart that has said, well, if they don't want to know, well, then let them die and go to hell. I wonder if there's ever been something in your heart that has said that or felt that, because they've been so tough with you, so cruel with you. They've been just dismissive of everything you've said as you've tried to share the gospel. And I wonder if you've ever felt like that. I wonder if you've ever felt a hardness in your heart that started to come within your heart as after you've shared the gospel. And here, there are people who are not receiving Jesus. And James and John says, shall we call down fire that they would be consumed? Oh, what shall we do that? And Jesus says, you just don't understand. You don't understand the mercy of God. You don't understand the love of God. You don't understand the kindness of God, the graciousness of God, the abundance of God, the God who is good and you don't understand me. I'm the Christ who has come to save people's lives, not to destroy them. And that's who I am. And you don't understand me. And even all this time that you've been with me, you still don't understand who I am. And that's what he is communicating to them. And he says it again to our hearts. He says that, that we would communicate the loving kindness of God, that we would communicate the mercy of God and his abundance. And just the final thought I want to bring you. Just a thought that I find at times is And in the book of Jonah, and we know how he fled from the commandment of God and didn't want to go to Nineveh because he didn't want to preach to them, and he didn't want to see these rebellious people. You know, he feared that they might turn to God, and he saw this rebellious people and this people who had turned their back on God. And so he goes and preaches, and they repent in sackcloth and ashes. And it says this in chapter four. It says in verse two, I fled before unto Tarshish, second half, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for if it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? And something I've noticed at times where there will be people praying for the country, praying for this land, interceding on this on behalf of this land, and at the same time praying for a revival to come through the land and see a great move of the Spirit, and at the same time despairing of all the immorality and saying, God, judge this land. And it's as if they're holding the two together. It's in this sort of extraordinary combination. Lord, look at this. Look at the terrible things that are going on in this land. Lord, will you not judge this land? And sometimes I feel as if it's like Jonah. He's looking at all these people in their immorality, in their disregard of God, and he's gone to preach, and he's wanting the judgment of God. He's wanting God to come down and strike them. And the reality is God saying, look, they don't even know their left hand from their right. And we're in a nation that it doesn't know its left hand from its right. That's the nation we're in. That's the situation we're in. We're in exactly the same situation that Jonah found. That he found a people that didn't know their left hand from their right. And he says, and God says to us, now speak to the rock that mercy will flow out. Go before the Lord Jesus and speak. That water, the graciousness of me would flow out. And go and preach to them. But preach to them warning, yes, warning. But out of a representation of the mercy of God. And as you speak to people, whoever it is, believers, unbelievers, be a representation of God and his mercy and his loving kindness and his grace and his faithfulness. That's who we're to be, a representation, an ambassador for God in his mercy and his kindness, that we might reach out to the people, and the people will and people, whether it's around about us, the unbeliever, the believer, whoever it is, that they might sanctify God in their hearts because they've seen God as he really is. They've seen him as the merciful God, the gracious God, the abundant God, the God who sees the cry of people's hearts saying, I need water, I need water. And God comes and provides them with the very thing they need, the very thing that they're crying out for. And God answers their prayer.